This is a recording of my conversation with Joel Beal, co-founder and CEO at Alloy, about how consumer goods companies drive business value from data and analytics of the entire value chain, from production to consumer demand. We covered the relevant use cases and benefits, such as getting one source of truth across the company to reduce working capital, waste, and out of stocks, improve service levels, and ultimately drive growth.
I'm talking to Joel Beal, CEO and co-founder at Alloy. Alloy offers an analytical platform for brands. It consolidates data from multiple sources to help brands understand and predict demand patterns at a granular level and help make right decisions. Joel, thanks for joining. Please introduce yourself and tell us a few more things about Alloy.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate you having me on your show. So by way of introduction, Alloy is now about 4 years old. It was co-founded by myself and a couple of other software developers. And really the impetus behind the founding was experiences that a number of us had working with major retailers and CPGs in previous jobs. And we had seen the challenge that a lot of these companies that are dealing with consumer products deal with as they're trying to understand customer demand, the most kind of fundamental part of their business. You know, who's buying what, where are they buying that, and, you know, stitching all this data that's available to them together. And there were just big lags in their ability to answer these questions. It's not that the data is not available. I mean, you always might want more. But, you know, answering things like, you know, are my promotions working? Am I allocating inventory correctly? Should I be adjusting production? Basic things like that. So the founding, you know, idea behind Alloy is simple, and you put it nicely. I mean, it's a platform, you know, a modern cloud-based, you know, all the way you want to build software today, platform that helps companies align the inventory that they have, you know, the supply, with the demand that's coming from consumers, no matter how they're selling the product, right? It used to be you always sold product in the same way. It went into traditional brick and mortar retail. That's not true anymore. There's lots of ways to sell your product. Shouldn't matter how that sale is happening. The key thing is understanding, you know, what's going on and what levers you have to kind of change and adjust to that.
There is more and more data available. What do you think are some of the opportunities and challenges for consumer goods companies, for brands to get actionable insights out of the existing data?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It feels like every year there's more data that's being shared. I think, first of all, one of the challenges that I think is happening, and this goes well beyond just this industry, is we're shifting from people wanting to get access to data to oftentimes there's more data than you know what to do with. And I think that can be paralyzing for many people. One of the challenges is certainly, you know, understanding what's out there, understanding how you can make use of it, what's going to work where. You know, it's also an opportunity because there's so much information that you can make use of, but it's something that I think every company goes through. Is you have big aspirations and then maybe are brought a little bit to reality as you realize it could be hard to bring all that together. From an opportunity standpoint, I mean, it's amazing. You know, I haven't been in this industry now for decades yet, but you know, decades ago, none of this data was shared in many cases. You know, we work a lot with the data that's shared between retailers and these brands that tend to be our customers, right? Where they're sharing back point of sale, inventory levels at every store and fulfillment center in DC. And that gives both sides an incredible ability to be very specific about where they want to make adjustments. For us is where we see so much opportunity. Retailers are expecting their brands to be more hands-on than they were historically. That's part of their kind of cost-cutting effort to say, hey, you help us. And so for the brands that take advantage of that, they can have a huge amount of say and get much closer to the customer in helping that retailer say, hey, these are the promotions we should be running. This is exactly how we should be allocating inventory. And they can better demand plan and do all the things they need to do on their side as well. So a lot of opportunity, but it's hard to get there. And I think it's a struggle for companies that we work with, from those that are brand new, you know, digitally native brands who are coming into retail for the first time, to some of the most established kind of Fortune 500 companies that have been around for centuries at this point.
Moving on to Alloy, what specific problems does Alloy solve?
Alloy is, as I said, it's kind of this data platform that connects, you know, retail data, distributor, 3PL, production data. In a most simple form, it kind of puts it into a map, right? It helps you understand where your inventory is across all of those partners. In most cases, you're working with dozens, if not hundreds of partners. It helps you see where that end demand is from consumers and connects it all together. Now, that's what Alloy is. What does it do? It's going to help you reduce working capital because it's going to help you understand where your inventory is and where you're misallocating it, right? Hey, you have too much inventory piling up here. It's not turning over, right? You don't need to send any more inventory there. And sometimes, by the way, you have somebody trying to buy that inventory from you, and you can actually see that it's not a good idea to fill those orders, and you need to have that conversation. Other times, obviously, you're leaner than you want to be. So reducing working capital is certainly one of our value props. Reducing waste, helping people make production decisions that are based on real-time consumer demand. Now, there's often, obviously, there's limitations on how fast you can kind of, you know, change production, but you certainly want to be aware of how demand is changing. If you look at what's happening in the world today, there's obviously massive shifts in which SKUs are selling and which ones aren't. And so you have both production decisions that need to be adjusted, and you also have allocation decisions, you know, improving service levels, making sure then that that inventory is ready to go when people want to order it from you. And of course, look, every company is about growth. It's about saying, hey, where are the opportunities? Where am I seeing demand spike? Is it in different channels? Is it different SKUs? Making sure I'm not losing money from out of stocks, phantom inventory, things like that. So I would say that probably covers, at least at a high level, the types of problems that we generally are tackling and helping people solve.
So could you comment a bit on how does it work? What type of data sources do you connect and then provide on the platform?
We think of ourselves as probably a supply chain visibility platform, but it starts with understanding demand. That's the purpose of your supply chain. So, you know, the data platform that I spoke about earlier, we have at this point, over 600 pre-built connectors into these major partners that most of these consumer goods companies are working with, right? So the major retailers and distributors, 3PLs, you know, co-packers, contract manufacturers, types of companies like that. So it starts with just being able to get all this data and connect it together in a usable way. That's really hard. It's something that sounds easy, and I think companies start with, okay, great, we'll pull this data, we're going to drop it into a database, and all of a sudden, voila, we can start solving problems and driving actionable insights. It doesn't work that way, right? Because the moment you pull that data together, you're like, well, one person's giving me data, and they use these SKU numbers. Another one has a totally different number. They have different location IDs. You know, how do I connect the fact that this is the same product? And hey, then I have to convert pack sizes and all these things as I translate from talking in a sales world where I'm dealing in eaches to a supply chain world where I'm dealing in pallets. Connecting that graph of how the product is moving across the supply chain. So that's a huge amount of what Alloy is. It's not necessarily the sexiest part of what we do, but if I were to really say, hey, where's a lot of the value driven, is that we've built all of that logic into the platform, and it doesn't require, you know, an insane amount of configuration. It doesn't require, you know, the multiple quarters or year plus long implementation cycles. This is actually an area where we do use some machine learning. You're trying to match these things and say, hey, it looks like these are the same thing. And so I'm going to connect that and then have you kind of confirm it for me. Once all of that data is connected is where the fun starts, because, you know, then we have this kind of computation layer that turns the raw data points about sales and orders and shipments and inventory levels and, you know, production plans, and says, okay, you want to solve a question like projecting out where your inventory is going to be a couple weeks from now, right? Because you want to anticipate where you are going to have inventory problems, where you might run out of stock or where inventory is going to be building up. Well, that's going to take into account forecasting, which you were talking about before. The whole idea is, you know, Alloy can generate forecasts. We can take forecasts that are provided by partners. But the idea is, you know, forecast is an element of that. You need to understand how fast the inventory is going to be depleted, but you also need to understand what all the orders and shipments are in transit, basically combine it together. So you can say, yeah, 2 weeks from now, your inventory is going to be lower than your target weeks of supply. And so this is A, an issue, and what can you do about it? Where is inventory that you could pull? You know, what would be the cost of doing that and the lead times, et cetera?
Are you able to get data from all retailers? Are they actually ready to give, or ready and able to give the data at the very granular level?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, when I mentioned these kind of 600 plus integrations, that certainly spans globally, although, you know, we started here in the United States. And so our coverage is better here than it is in other regions. Look, you're never going to get 100% data coverage. And that's something, you know, we try to be very upfront with people at the beginning. You're not going to be able to see everything. Maybe we'll get there someday. I hope we do. But usually the nice thing is that the best data tends to be coming from the biggest partners. So usually the 80-20 rule very much applies here. As I said, sometimes you get different levels of detail. Some people are giving you more or less real-time information. Others you get, you know, once a week a spreadsheet shows up that gives you some kind of aggregated information. Speaking of Europe specifically, so certainly data is available there. I do think there's probably a broader support in you know, the United States, there's probably more data that's available than in other parts of the world. But I think it's just a general trend of people sharing more. The other thing is, you know, I think with the growth in e-commerce, data sharing is just a way of life there. You have to, especially with the way that, you know, with drop shipping and all the different ways things are fulfilled. So I like to think that's driving a lot of additional sharing, because it's like, why should the world look so different when you fulfill a product in one way versus another? And we really work with both. If you look across our customer base, probably about a third of the sales that we track are e-commerce and two-thirds are brick and mortar. When you're talking about data from retailers, you need to be mindful. That data is being provided very specifically for that supplier or brand to collaborate with that retailer in a way that's going to benefit both. You know, yeah, we have a lot of limitations on what we can do with that. And that data is used very specifically, like I said, for that purpose. It's not being commingled or connected with other data where you're getting for different brands.
So in what retail verticals does Alloy work?
The fundamental technology will work anywhere. But we have, you know, as mentioned, look, our initial target market is definitely consumer products generally. There are certainly verticals we probably have gotten, you know, more traction in, at least early on in the first couple of years as a company. So CPG is a big one, pretty advanced in the scheme of things, you know, high turning products, so super high velocity. These companies have to be on top of their game from an operational standpoint. You know, things like food and beverage, where there's a lot of spoilage, is also, you know, a nice spot where there's a lot of clear value that we can drive. Automotive's been really good, as has kind of do-it-yourself, so any kind of home, garden. Consumer electronics and toys. Now, they have very different seasonality if you look at those verticals. New product introductions, you know, kind of product life cycles, super key versus CPG, where it tends to be more steady, but more promotional driven. And then health and beauty.
Could you share some success stories? And if you're aware, what benefit did the client get?
To quote one of our customers, I guess loosely, they're like, Alloy helps us know where we're hurting. Hopefully we also show lots of opportunities where people can improve, but there's no doubt that we can, oftentimes we can identify just where there's these inefficiencies that are costing them a lot of money and time and pain. And I think importantly, as I mentioned in that earlier example around not just being able to identify where you're out of stock today, but where you're going to be out of stock, you know, in a couple of weeks, where you can act on it. You can do something at that point. It's nice to, maybe it's not nice to know, but it's important to know how much money you're losing from misallocation. It's a lot better when you can see that in advance and hopefully mitigate it. Recent success stories, you know, one that comes to mind is a, you know, a major kind of food manufacturer, right, that approached us. And for them, on the supply chain, I mean, spoilage was really the issue. You know, not just spoilage within their own directly controlled supply chain, but also across their retail partners and their distributors. So they work to, you know, across kind of both those tiers. And as is often the case, well, it's hard to tackle that problem when you can't even see all that inventory, right? You're dealing with partners that are you know, struggling with spoilage and you don't even know exactly how much they have. You're just getting orders from them that you're trying to fulfill, or, you know, in this case where you have distributors in between, you've got these multiple layers you've got to deal with. So, you know, they were getting caught flat-footed when there were shifts in demand and they were getting these orders they didn't expect and they weren't sure if they needed to always fill them. But they needed justification if they weren't going to. You know, we were brought in. I think this is kind of where we really shine. It's a complex supply chain. You know, there's a lot of, you know, opportunity to drive value by identifying, you know, issues where that inventory isn't being allocated correctly. We were brought in on the supply chain side. So something I don't think I've mentioned, you know, we often work with supply chain. We also work with sales. And that's kind of one of our big, you know, we think differentiators is we really can speak to both teams and hopefully bring those teams together. We were brought in here through supply chain that introduced us into sales. And we said, hey, let's give you that single view so both sides can see what's happening. Supply chain needs to better understand demand patterns. And they need that kind of direct visibility rather than sales interpretation of what's going on. And likewise, sales really wants to, you know, they had a different issue of saying, hey, we want to make sure we know how much inventory we have ready to fill, you know, the demand and, you know, our promotions, all the things that we're running. We came in there, we connected it all together, you know, gave them that view. And it's been awesome, you know, seeing the change. And, you know, look, you can quantify, I mean, there's millions of dollars of value that you can quantify from saying, hey, we were able to reduce spoilage and, you know, the different metrics you can track. I think the other thing that's, you know, maybe less quantifiable is seeing how the organizations change. You provide visibility, even internally. You break down those silos that often sit within these companies, and, you know, the teams are able to say, okay, we're both looking at the same facts, you know, facts about what the state of the world is and what demand looks like and what our inventory looks like. And then we discuss our strategy. So it's been exciting in this particular case. And we've seen that at many of our companies as they've kind of, this has helped bridge some of those divides that exist in companies as well.
I'd like to zoom in a bit into the demand forecasting. So how important do you think is, obviously, in addition to the, let's say, the hard data, historical sales, which is clearly probably the best predictor, to use weaker signals such as social media, or it can be traffic patterns?
Our forecasting models are certainly more built on, I would say, the more traditional measures, right? The historical patterns, you know, pricing information, you know, promotions, you know, the key, I would say, fundamental drivers of demand. There's certainly other data that's out there. And there's, you know, you mentioned social media, right, which is a common one. You know, macroeconomic information, you know, weather comes up sometimes when people are talking about kind of shorter term, like how it drives it. Those are things that you can bring in as well in Alloy. I think, you know, their efficacy, I think, really varies based on, you know, the products. I mean, in kind of the situation, there are some things, you know, if you're in health and beauty, then yeah, social media matters a lot. That can dramatically change something. Now, the key is, can you get that in fast enough that it's like an input that is going to allow your model to adjust in a meaningful way? I would say on our side, we do focus more on the traditional measures. I would say that's kind of more of our strength, where I think we differ from a lot of the, you know, traditional forecasting tools is, A, we're very focused on, don't use shipment data or order data, really use the end point of sale data if I'm a consumer brand. That's the real signal of what people are buying, and use it, adjust it to be unconstrained, because oftentimes that data has already been, it's somewhat incorrect because it's not taking into account the out of stocks that might have existed. You might have suppressed demand because you've been running with out of stocks, but also be able to do it at an extremely granular level. And that's where, you know, we're forecasting every SKU at every single location. It works a little different if you want that aggregated view, but allowing you to get that very specific forecast is really where we shine.
How do brands, how do manufacturers start working with Alloy? Could you describe an implementation?
We like to think that working with us is pretty straightforward. We're a pure, you know, kind of software play, although we have a great, what we call client solutions team that works with companies. We really emphasize, like, don't try to boil the ocean on day one. It can get exciting when you work on these kind of, you know, visibility initiatives and connecting all these data sources. And, you know, sometimes there's a tendency to be like, let's just do everything. And, you know, we really encourage folks, it's like, find a clear business opportunity. It has to be grounded in a, you know, a business problem that you have. And let's tackle that piece. Maybe that's supplier collaboration, and that's connecting you with some of your key material suppliers, you know, that are coming into your production. Maybe it's, you know, a couple key retailers or distributors on the demand side of the equation. Start there. As I said, we have these pre-built integrations. So oftentimes, you know, this is a function of, I mean, data is flowing within days. That doesn't mean everything's going to work perfectly. You know, they're still going to be making sure that it, you know, we're calculating things in the way that you want and that those things are configured, but that's all just through a UI. It doesn't require any programming. And then you can grow because you start to see the opportunity. You can say, okay, what's the next part of my business that I want to connect?
Do you think COVID will have any lasting changes in terms of using data analytics to manage demand and supply chain?
COVID, as in many parts of the economy right now, is going to accelerate changes that were already happening. And so clearly there's been, you know, a shift that's been going on now for over a decade, you know, companies trying to be more data driven. COVID's going to drive that. There's so much change happening so quickly that you really, you know, kind of using hunches really isn't the right way to work right now. You need to see, you know, what, how consumers are changing those patterns, how your supply chain is being impacted. So I absolutely think it's going to accelerate that trend that's going on. The other element is, you know, I'm working from home right now still. You know, many people are. And so it's changing the way that people are working at these companies. You have to have software that can work wherever your employees are, that's very collaborative in nature. You know, that might not be directly related to, am I being more data driven, but it's shifting the way that all of us are working. You know, things will adjust back a bit as things return to quote unquote normal. But I think you're going to definitely see lasting changes in how we're working and collaborating and using data in that way.
Joel, this was great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.